most dangerous man in the world?
Hello, man.
Is this the most dangerous man in the world having his breakfast?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. It's so lovely to meet you.
He's big, isn't
he? Welkom, strijders voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. Dit is de Jensen Roadshow 2024. Zonder jullie financiële steun hadden we dit nooit kunnen doen. Steun ons als je dit waardeert. Ga naar jensen.nl.
Ik ben op de Isle of Wight, een eiland in het zuiden van Engeland. Ik ga op bezoek bij een man die hier eigenlijk opgesloten zit. Verbannen uit meer dan 30 landen. Hij is een vreedzame, 72-jarige man die nooit gearresteerd is geweest, nooit zijn er problemen geweest na een van zijn lezingen, en van racistische of antisemitische uitlatingen, daar zijn geen bewijzen voor. En toch wordt hij van dit alles vals beschuldigd en gestraft door overheden wereldwijd. David Icke was ooit professioneel voetballer. Daarna sportjournalist bij de BBC.
Good evening. Liverpool looks certain to celebrate their 13th league championship.
En zette hij zich kortstondig in als woordvoerder van de Groene Partij in Engeland. Door al zijn ervaringen in met name de mediawereld en de politiek raakte hij compleet gedesillusioneerd over hoe de wereld echt in elkaar steekt. Maar in plaats van in dat gevoel te blijven hangen, ging hij op een diepe zoektocht met de vraag waarom de wereld en mensen zoveel kwaad te verdragen krijgen. Die zoektocht bracht hem tot diepe, diepe inzichten. Hij begon erachter te komen door tientallen jaren met veel mensen te spreken hoe we met z'n allen gemanipuleerd worden, en hij kwam er ook achter wie hier verantwoordelijk voor zijn. David begon met het uitdragen van zijn angstige bevindingen en inzichten, maar werd natuurlijk compleet belachelijk gemaakt door het establishment, de instituten en natuurlijk de waardeloze mainstream media.
You know the best way of removing negativity is to laugh and be joyous. So I'm delighted that there's so much laughter in the audience tonight.
But no, it's a...
But just let me say this.
They're laughing at you. They're not laughing with you.
Fine.
Tientallen jaren achtervolgde dit interview hem. Hij kon de straat niet op zonder uitgelachen te worden. Maar hij zette door. Want hij zag snel dat het 5 voor 12 is en dat we afstevenen op een voor mensen dystopische wereld als de griezels het doel van hun plan bereiken. David weet hoe het zit. En het bewijs daarvoor is duidelijk te vinden. Hoe kon hij anders 25 jaar geleden dit al voorspellen?
This is the time when this network of interbreeding bloodlines wants to bring in its global fascist structure of a world government to which nation states would be administrative units, of a world central bank and a world currency, a currency that wouldn't be cash, it would be merely electronic, for which there are fundamental implications for human freedom. And also the world army, which is designed to be NATO, expanding and expanding as it is now, of course, to become the fully fledged world army, world police force. And underpinning that little lot is designed to be a microchip population, in which we are microchipped with our financial details, our medical details, etc., etc. And that would allow not only electronic tagging, people knowing where we are all the time, it would allow the external manipulation through this electronic means of our mental and emotional processes.
Door zijn onderzoek kon David geheimen aantonen die de mensen in de schaduw niet willen dat de mensheid hier collectief achterkomen. Want dan is het voor de griezels game over.
Where the conspiracy comes in is in 3 ways. 1, manipulating and conspiring to remove those people and organizations that are a threat to that agenda becoming reality. Making sure they don't get an opportunity to speak and say what's going on. 2, conspiring to put into positions of power politicians and bankers and stuff that will make that agenda become reality. And 3, conspiring to create problems in the world which through problem, reaction, solution will get the public to allow or even demand that your agenda becomes reality. The conspiracies relate to making the agenda happen. The agenda is at the heart of what's going on.
2 jaar geleden werd David uitgenodigd om te spreken op een vredesrally in Amsterdam. En dat mocht natuurlijk niet. Geheimen moeten geheimen blijven. De mensheid moet onwetend gehouden worden. Dus straf je de boodschapper van de waarheid.
De Britse complotdenker David Icke mag 2 jaar lang de meeste EU-landen niet in, omdat zijn komst tot veel spanningen en onrust zou kunnen leiden.
De laatste 2 afleveringen van mijn roadshow zijn mijn gesprek met David Icke, the most dangerous man in the world. En oh ja, er zat een prachtige vlek op mijn shirt, het resultaat van weken non-stop on the road zijn met een kleine koffer. Je kunt je natuurlijk op de vlek focussen, of je kunt luisteren naar wat er gezegd wordt. Dat zal weer veel over jou zeggen.
Isle of Wight, David.
Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight. You're from Leicester, but early 80s you settled here. Why?
Oh, I did, because...
Why?
I fell in love with the Isle of Wight in the 1950s. Yeah. Because I remember playing Isle of Wight ferries in the paddling pool at infant school. Uh-huh. We had a little rubber boat, and I used to have one side of the paddling pool was Ryde, and one of them was Portsmouth over there, and I used to have the ferry going across. There's a little kid in infant school. I fell in love with the place. And when I was a kid, I loved steam trains. Well, I still do.
Okay.
And the Isle of Wight was as near to Thomas the Tank Engine land you'll ever see. Because all the little tank engines were the same design. They were all named after places on the island, so they all had names. And I just fell in love. They used to see the pier in the distance there.
Yeah.
They used to go up the pier to meet the ferries, and I just fell in love with it. And so the first time. When I worked at the BBC in the early 1980s, I started doing outside broadcasts where I'd go to a place and I'd do a week of programs, and then until the next one, I'd be off. And in short, that gave me the opportunity to come and live here because I didn't have to be in London every day.
Yeah.
And I've lived here ever since, pretty much.
Yeah, so long, personal history in a way, memories from childhood, never any inkling or never any desire to live somewhere else.
Not really. I mean, I spend quite a lot of time up in Derby now, Derbyshire, because that's where my sons have got a media operation called Iconic.
Yes.
But
Guys, by the way. I don't know them, but from what I see,
they are great guys.
You've done a good job as a father to raise. I mean, the 2 children that I, see on my computer.
Yeah,
but they are so really awake, not the fake awake.
Yeah, and they've they've raised themselves really. Because the only interesting thing is that. I never push this stuff on them at all because
right.
I don't believe in that. I think that, children, young people should develop their own characters in their own way.
Yeah.
You protect them and you can guide them here and there, but they must come to their own conclusions. You know, it's kind of funny in it when you think that if you're born in, India or in a Hindu family background, you become a Hindu. If you're born in the Middle East or whatever, in a Muslim family background, you become a Muslim. In the southern states of America, you become a Christian. So what that tells you is it ain't natural in terms of you've developed that. What's happened is that's all you've known. It's how you've been brought up to believe, And I don't think that. I personally think that's a form of child abuse. I think children ought to be allowed to come to their own conclusions. And the boys came to the conclusion that the world is not like they thought it was, or people are told it was, and they're now really basically doing the same as I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's amazing, but that is amazing, because it would be easy to get off that path and follow, whatever society and... But no, but they're very strong.
Well, they've been encouraged to be honest.
Yeah.
and to be determined.
Yeah.
You know, I was a goalkeeper. I played professional football as a goalkeeper. Gareth, my son, was the England beach soccer goalkeeper. Jamie had trials at Manchester United, Aston Villa, and he played for Portsmouth Football Club youth set up for years. And it's a wonderful way, because sport, you have ups and downs, emotional ups and downs in life, and they can be, you know, days apart or weeks apart or months apart, whatever. But in sport, it's concentrated. You can have a real high in a football game and a big low within literally seconds of each other, possibly, certainly minutes. And if you use it right, you can start to treat those emotional highs and lows as twin imposters and get control of your emotions like that. And you can get tremendous life experience from playing sport in such a concentrated way. And so
focus, like a focus.
Yeah, and also discipline. You know, you get out what you put in. You know,
and in your daughter who passed away recently, was she also of the same?
Yes, she was. Absolutely, she was. Kerry, she didn't like the limelight.
No.
So she did it quietly, but during COVID. She was the leading light of the, if you like, the resistance on the Isle of Wight.
Really?
Yeah. They used to have big meetings of people. Well, they were big eventually. On the beach just over there, they had that phenomenon of stand in the park, you know, where people just came and stood and just protested in that way by refusing to do what they were told, like stay at home. And she was orchestrating all of that. And she was again a sportswoman, because I mean, she eventually discovered boys and it disappeared. But when she was a teenager, she was a phenomenal runner.
Mm.
Yeah, she. I mean, I'm sure that Kerry, with her build and everything, could have been could have been in the Olympics. Really, she was that good. But she just didn't want to do it anymore. She broke the Isle of Wight. Cross-country record by 25 seconds in one race. She broke the Hampshire, the whole big county and the mainland county, 1500 meters record by 8 seconds. She was phenomenal, but then she found boys.
She found boys, ruined it all.
Yeah.
Hey, and but she was the light of the Isle of Wight during COVID.
She was.
So that's three out of three.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've encouraged my children to be is their own self,
yeah.
Their own unique self, not what society tells them they should be, but who they are, what they are. Not hide your uniqueness, celebrate it. You know, because I have this philosophy that we're all expressions of one consciousness. Yes. But we're unique expressions. I mean, people think that when you say we're all one consciousness, it's like you're just a blob. No, you're a unique expression of that consciousness. You're a unique expression of your multiple experiences that have got you to where you are. And therefore, to celebrate uniqueness is to celebrate the unity of everything as well. It's the same thing.
I would say there are no two people alike.
No.
Of the billions on this planet, no two people alike. It's the same as you would never, you will never get to know somebody 100%, even your children or your partner or whatever, because we are so complex,
yeah.
We are so individual, you never know somebody, I know my son, I know
God.
No, you don't.
No, do you even know yourself?
Really? Yeah, do you know yourself? But that's the point, isn't it?
But you know, if you look at, tyranny, whether it's communist tyranny, fascist tyranny, what any kind of tyranny, what's it looking for? It's looking for uniformity. It's looking for it to try to make everyone the same. And the more you celebrate your uniqueness and your the spontaneous nature of that uniqueness, that you are by that very nature resisting tyranny, because tyranny must have central control, and for central control it must have uniformity. And so it wants people, you know, you say everyone's an individual and unique, yes, but they're trying to get everyone the same. They're trying to push people into the same mentality. And the reason that they want to connect the human brain to artificial intelligence, thank you, Mr. Musk, is...
I see a rocket going up.
Yes.
Shall we launch one later today?
Yeah.
Let's get permission without working for NASA or working for the government.
Can Elon Musk be on it? Is that all right?
I think he's left the planet already, to be honest.
So you have this this need for uniformity, and the reason they want this AI, what is basically a hive mind, where they are dictating your thoughts via AI, it's because they want this uniformity. They have to have uniformity. So how do we respond to that? Well, we express our uniqueness.
That's it.
You know. It's great when there's no one else like you, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I don't want to be like somebody else.
No.
And this is how they constantly trick people into thinking, no, don't do it for yourself, do it for others. But that others thing is created, right? It's created, and that causes the uniformity, and that's why we follow and we feel like we have to follow. Because they play with this, and now you'll tell us later, but they play with this, and now they want to take it to the next technological level. But they've already played with this so much. But this should be followed.
The thing about expressing your uniqueness is it doesn't mean you don't support each other.
No.
It doesn't mean you don't look after each other. It just means that the way you live your life is you and not some blob uniform way of doing it, you know? But, you know, it's like that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a uniformity of mind, of perception. Because that's what they're after. They're after human perception, and they want that to be uniform. So if you say, why do people behave as they do? They behave as they do because they perceive as they do. That's why they act as they do, because of their perception. And then you say, well, where do they get the perception from? Well, information received. Yeah. Okay, so where do they get that from? Education system, media, all these... sources of authoritarian and authority information sources, and of course part of that is censorship, so that you only receive what they want you to receive in terms of information. Thus, your perception becomes uniform. Thus, your behavior becomes uniform. If you censor, you're making that happen. You're making sure that people only hear one narrative, thus one perception, thus one behavior. All I'm saying is, you know, let's have all information out there, all information available, and let people uniquely decide what they make of it.
That's it.
And I have a simple philosophy. Do what you like, so long as you don't impose it on anyone else. You know,
I think we need to move. This is not the best shot looking at toilets.
Yeah.
But we'll leave this in, by the way. Yeah. We've been standing in front of toilets.
Oh, have we? Toilets are very useful.
They are very useful. And it's still a great public service.
Yeah. In fact, they're essential if you want to wee, like. It's this uniformity of perception that people like me and you are pushing back on.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, come on, be you, not what the system tells you to be, you know?
Yeah, and they do it very well to manipulate people just by instilling fear into everybody. Fear, 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 fear. Because then people start to feel alone. And they reach out, and they think if we all collectively think alike, do alike, then we'll be safe.
Yeah, safe.
Safe. Well, Fear, safety, fear, safety, fear. David, can I share a story with you about yesterday?
Yep.
I was in the pub.
Right.
I was down a pub.
You surprise me. I never would have believed it.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. I was in the pub. And I noticed something that here. I mean, this is basically is right. It should be like a quaint English town, village, seaside town.
Yeah.
So I go down the pub. I go down the pub. I say it right. I go down the pub.
Yeah, down the pub.
Down the pub. So what do I see? Security guards outside.
Really?
Every pub I passed by, security. And I said to one, I think it was a girl, I said to her, I asked her, I'm not 100% sure, but so I said to her, I said,
well, it is more difficult these days.
Is this really necessary? Oh yeah. 2 years ago I was glassed. I said, 2 years ago you were glassed? Yeah, because I got into to try to interrupt a fight and I was glassed. I got a glass in my... I said, but everywhere there's security. So then I go to the Crown. It was the Crown, right? The Crown, which is on the corner. So there's the bouncer. One of us had a bag. He searched the bag to get into the pub. And, you know, I've seen this once before in my life. That was in Australia, the horrible, horrible Australia. It was in Brisbane, the Gold Coast. It's like when you go to a pub or a bar, it's like you go through security at the airport.
Yeah.
They take your picture, they store everything. But here on this in this small town, people are so afraid that something nasty is going to happen. They now have, and it's always the dumbest guy in the gym who does the security. You know, the dumb guy and who takes pride and who loves to show how powerful he is to the people. But I mean, that's just sort of shocking. The pub is a public house. This is the way it should be, so open. It should be so free. It should be where you talk. But now security, because everybody is afraid something could happen.
Yeah, well, you know, the one of the biggest ways of that people are controlled is to change and or dictate the normal, what is normal. So you had after COVID the new normal, right? So what they did was move the normal. And if your normal is, for instance, that there's a you know, a demon under every bed, and what's going to happen now, I've got to be protected, then that normal will accept what you've just described because it's normal. And this is the other thing, is that once you've moved the normal, older people who've experienced the previous normal can see it's changed. Young people are born into the new normal, and to them, this is how things are. This is what life is. They have no radar comparison with what it used to be like. So, you know, I was born in 1952, and the world that we live in now was completely different. So I can see the change. But if someone's born in the last few years, this is their normal. So, and once you've dictated the normal, you then dictate what's considered not normal. So during COVID, it wasn't normal not to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So, and also we have this thing called the paranormal, which is what I write a lot about. The paranormal, they call it the paranormal because it's different to the perceived normal. So what is considered far out, you know, people talk about me, they say, oh, he talks about a lot of far out things. But far out from what? Is it far out or is it just far out from the perception of the normal, which is given to us by science and education and medicine and stuff? And this uniformity we're talking about is a uniform perception around this normal, which is movable, as we saw during COVID. And what they're moving the normal towards is more and more authoritarianism, more and more censorship, more and more minute-by-minute control of what people can do, say, and how they live their lives. So the infusion of the normal is fundamental to everything that goes on. And you're going to see the normal move. The normal's moving to, well, the new normal is we have connections to the brain through artificial intelligence. at which point the artificial intelligence becomes the human mind. And instead of you having thoughts and conclusions, which you come to through process of information, you will get them direct handed to you. This is what you think en masse. This is the hive mind I've been warning about. So that movement of that normal is happening all the time.
And through your research that you've done over decades, you were able to call this, I mean, in the 90s, that this was the plan. And now we see it happening with the chipped, the mind chips. It all came true, what you did through research. And I always emphasize when I talk about you that apart from, obviously, you have intuitive, spiritual insights and all that, but basically you are a researcher.
Yeah.
And you are the real journalist and who looks at the documents and you can see the and talks to people and then you find out the plans. And this you talked about in the early 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, what I say to people is one of the reasons that I say, look, I wrote this all these years ago. I said this and said this was coming. It's not to say, oh, look at me, look how good I am. What I'm saying to people is, look, how did I frickin' know?
Yes.
And the reason I knew is because it's a plan.
Yes.
And so what? This is how it works.
I mean, but this is so important to point out because I see those tweets of yours and I know how people are going to react. Oh, he feels disgruntled. He feels he needs attention. That is not it. It's exactly this point. How did you know? Because it's a plan and you saw the plan. You spoke to people about the plan. You know everything. You did the research. You spoke to people who confirmed it and you've seen it come true every step of the way until this moment.
Yeah. And
Sorry. And how, Dave.
How is that? Because, you know, we live in apparently one world, but we live in two. There's the world of what I call the global cult, which is a global network of secret societies, fiercely compartmentalized. So most of the people in them don't even know the real big picture. And through this secret society network, information, advanced information, at the inner core is passed on through the generations and it's isolated in that away from the population. They don't want the population to know what they know. And at the same time, you know, this information is A, where they're taking the world and why, and also the nature of reality itself, which they don't want us to know. And the same cult, if you do the research, has been behind the creation of the education system. They own the global media. They own the medicine through things like the World Health Organization. They own the corporations. And through those the control of those sources of information, they keep the population, the target population, dumbed down and ignorant of what they know. So people like me are looking at what they know, uncovering what they know, and passing it over to the people in the population that's supposed to be kept from that. And what then happens is because of the chasm of difference between the perceptions of most of the population because of this and the cult is so, and what they're doing and how they're doing it and where they're taking us is so such a chasm that you get, you're mad, mate. Yeah. What are you talking about? They'll never do that. You're mad. They can't do that. That's impossible. Yeah. And what it is, what is the major form of control? The few know this advanced information and the target population does not. And all the censorship that we're seeing is to stop this process of telling people what they know about what they're doing.
And making sure people's consciousness becomes more narrow and narrow, 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 instead of open.
Yeah, because, you know, during COVID, because so much more was put on public display, a lot of people started to see the world wasn't like they thought it was. And so their minds start to expand into other possibilities of what's going on. Because one of the greatest ways that people are controlled is to control their perception of the possible, right? So if you can squeeze their perception of the possible, what's possible, whether it's technological possibility or of any other kind, then they are going to be like reflex action saying, that's not possible. They couldn't do that. You know, the technology doesn't exist. But the more you open your mind to other possibilities and other explanations, the more you start to see that actually what you thought was impossible was not, and it's actually happening. So what they've done after COVID, when this expansion of consciousness to greater and greater awareness, that movement had started, is they've moved in to what we call the alternative media. And they put people in there who know what they're doing, and lots of people that don't, but they are of a certain mentality, they're of a certain focus on right-wing politics and religion, and they're of a certain lack of knowledge of the big picture. And what they've done is that they've used the algorithms to give a massive exposure. And what's happened is people's expansion of awareness into greater and greater knowledge and greater understanding of the big picture, it's been hijacked in such a big way, and it's been regressed back into left-right politics.
It's true.
So right-wing politics, good. Left-wing politics, bad. When actually...
Trump is the savior.
Yeah, Trump is the savior. Well, you know...
It's such a good point that they hijacked once again, because they always need to stop the expansion of consciousness.
Exactly.
They always need to stop that. How do they do it? Media is so important. So you put all these Russell Brands in there, and Candace Owens, who is a good but also bad. I mean, all these people, and people think, oh, that's the information we need right now. And it's the same.
Yeah.
Shit!
And this is the thing. They want you to externalize your power.
Yeah.
You know, apparently, at the last election, something like 70-odd million people voted for Trump in America, okay? And what they did was, 70 million people, we're going to give our power to Trump, this one bloke, or we're going to give it to Biden, this one bloke. So what happens then for the next four years in America, 4 or 5 years in other places, that person is dictating what happens in the world and the people around him. Then you have something called an election, and you then have the choice, at least in theory, to vote for someone else. And so you then vote for them, and they take your power, and they... then dictate things for the next 4 or 5 years. And people are basically impotent in that period. Now, if you take those 70 million people that voted for Trump in America, and they said, we're not going to cooperate with our own enslavement, what would that do? You know, 70 million people saying we're not cooperating with our own enslavement. So take COVID. 70 million people saying we're not going to wear a mask. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. You're having us on. We know you're having us on, so we're not doing it. No, we're not going to social distance because, basically there is no bloody virus. You've made it up. Oh, and no, we're not having the jab, which is actually the real bioweapon for many, many reasons we might get into. We're not going to do that. There'd have been no COVID.
No.
It would not have been enforceable. But this is the point. And again, we come back to perception. There's three types of people. Two of them are responsible for every tyranny in history. And the third lot have brought an end to every tyranny in history. Okay. Group number one are those people that just do what they're told without question, believe what authority says without question, and they just do it. They're like press enter people, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the second group that actually doesn't really want to do it, but they're frightened of the consequences of not doing it. And those two groups have been responsible for every tyranny in history because... tyrants never impose tyranny because there's never enough of them. Tyranny is imposed by the population acquiescing to tyranny. either through unquestioning obedience or fear of not doing so. And then you've got the third group, is people like you and me, who say, I can see what you're doing, I can see where this is going, and I ain't cooperating with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to avoid people during COVID because you don't frighten me. If you want to avoid me, be my guest. I ain't avoiding you. And I know I'm not having your bloody jab because I know what it's there for, what it's meant to do and the impact it's meant to have. But I'm not doing it. I mean, how many people took the jab and didn't want it?
So many. And at the time knew it was not the right thing to do, but they acquiesced.
Yeah. You know, I tell you a story in this country. They said that people working in care homes, you know, looking after old people and stuff, if they didn't have the jab by a certain point, then they were going to get fired.
Yeah.
And so lots of them had the jab so they wouldn't get fired. They then gave the same ultimatum later, months later, to people who work for the National Health Service in Britain, right? That you're going to get fired after this date if you don't have the jab. And they got closer to the date, and so many people were not having it, they dropped it.
That's it.
They had to.
So that's what you're saying. If you say no, it stops.
If you say no in unity, this power of tyranny has no power.
Do you know what I love what you say about these people who are in charge, who are creating this? And you are so correct. I've seen this with like the higher level of business, those people, you know, the richest people I know, I've met in my life. But you say it also about the creeps who create all this clown show. They are frightened. I've noticed that with the richest people I've met in my life, you think they'd be so secure, they think they'd be so happy, you know, they are frightened. And you see it in their eyes. They are like, you know, they're hiding behind fences. They're hiding behind everything. And you say that about all those people, the big financial powers and all the creeps.
Yeah, because...
Little
boys in short trousers, yeah. You see, these people's control, thus power, comes from keeping the population in ignorance and acquiescence.
Yeah.
Their terror comes from that stopping.
Yes.
That not happening. Because then they know their power's gone. So what they do is they strut around, whether it's your Gateses or your Schwabs and people, they strut around as, we're the omnipotent power. And I look at them and I think, are you trying to convince me or are you trying to convince your bloody self? Because if you look at anyone who is like arrogant and psychopathic and a control freak, that's a better way of describing it, a control freak, what you're looking at is a deeply insecure person, because secure people don't want to control everything, but they know they have to control everything to keep people in this state of ignorance, which allows them to be controllable. And so you know, if you look at the way this whole manipulation works, this conspiracy works, if you are a secure person and you are dealing with a football match, you're quite happy to control one team and then have a contest with the other team, right? You don't have a problem with that. And what happens. These people, they would go absolutely apeshit at the very thought of what I've just described. What they would have to do in a football match, and this is why the world is as it is, they'd have to control Team A, Team B, and the referee.
Yeah.
They would have to know what the score was going to be before the game started. And that's why when you look and you do the research, you find that all these different people who appear to be even opposing each other in the public arena and giving people choice, ultimately the same hands controlling all of them. They're just controlling both teams so they know what the outcome's going
to
be.
They have to have a guaranteed outcome.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. You cover all sides. You own everything yourself. So then you have the guaranteed outcome.
And of course, the controlling the human mind via AI gives you a guaranteed outcome, because you are guaranteed the perception that you are dictating people to have.
You're 100% controlled.
Yeah, and you know the outcome has to be known as much as they can possibly do it, because what they are terrified of is states of flux. Any situation where the outcome is not callable, right? They go into a frenzy. They can't stand that because they're incredibly insecure, and some of them are not very bloody bright either. I mean, have you seen Bill Gates?
Yeah, I know. This is interesting. Let's walk again. Let's go find a place to sit. So, David, I want to say something to you, two things. But I'll start with this, that on behalf of my fellow Dutchmen and countrymen and women, the ones that know about your case, and also I apologize for the people who don't know about the details of your case, but they would be on your side. I have to apologize for how my government, the Dutch government, has treated you in this ridiculous case where you are now banned from all Schengen countries, so the whole of EU.
Yes, about 30 countries.
30 countries. Australia, you can't get in.
No, I can't get into Australia.
But that was before.
But
now you're banned from the EU, and it's childish. It is nasty. It is criminal how they have treated you, and I want to apologize on behalf of my countrymen for that. And I've tried to lay out the case as best as possible, as many times as possible for you, but for you to come over to Holland for 30 minutes for a speech, and because
at a peace rally,
at a peace rally, and then for you to be banned. And this has such an implication on your life, an impact on your life.
Yeah, but what does
so
that,
we're sorry.
Well, that's very kind. But what did that come from, given what we've been talking about? It comes from fear. I'm one bloke living on the Isle of Wight, and I'm banned from all these countries. I'm banned from Australia. I'm probably banned from a lot of other countries if I try to get in. Why? But it's because of what I'm saying. Because if you are having to control the perception of the population, to control them, the last thing you want is people circulating information that will in any way wake them up to other possibilities. You don't want that. And so they're frightened, not so much frightened of me, they're frightened of the information. And so, you know, you have the hijacked, I would say, alternative media, which has basically created what I call a barricade around religion and right-wing politics to focus attention. So it's basically, the genie came out of the bottle for a lot of people during COVID, but, well, we can't really put it totally back in, but we can hold it from going any further. And that's what they're doing. And so it's all about, you know, is it Trump or Harris or whatever? When actually the...
I hate to interrupt you, but I want to get back to your case, because they accuse you of things that are just so totally not true. There's no evidence. They accuse you of being able to opruien, like that you create, you would start a riot if you were to speak there. And there is no evidence that there has ever been in history, after one of your speeches, that there's been any problem. You've never been arrested before. They throw the anti-Semitism thing at you, which is easy to do, but to try and prove it. And we've looked into it. Many people have looked into it. There is no anti-Semitism in whatever you say. You could be critical of Israel, or you could be critical of a person who might be Jewish, but that is not anti-Semitism. So that's not true. It's all a lie. So I've been thinking, sorry that I do a little bit of the talking here, but I've been thinking, what is it? What is it that they don't want you to say? Because, and I don't say to brag about myself, but if it was the information about COVID that you were going to, only 30 minutes you had there.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, that information in Holland was out there through people like me. And of course, you worldwide, you're very well known. But at the time in Holland, you know, you were not as well known as I am, or as some politicians who have been arguing against COVID in Parliament. So that information was out there. And obviously now you're more famous in Holland because of this. So this is a good thing.
Yeah.
But so what was it? I've been thinking about it so for so long. What was it that they don't want you to spread? What are they so afraid of? And I've come to a conclusion or a thought, and I want to share that with you. And then we'll probably go into deeper issues. But I think, so it cannot be the COVID thing because that information was out there. It cannot be because of you, because to be honest, you're no threat, and everybody can see. But so it has to be something about you that they don't want you to tell people about, and they don't want to make you become bigger so that your audience becomes bigger, even though this did. I think it has to be your belief and your insights into that really all the horrible things in the world are created by some non-human force. You can explain that much better than I can. But I think that's it. Because it cannot be the other things. It cannot be the other things. They want you silenced, because maybe that is the biggest secret out there. What do you think of that, Ted?
Yeah, well, I think that there's certainly a very good chance of that. And you know, that whole squeezing and barricade around the alternative media myopia shuts all that out,
yeah,
as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's a very good chance of that. But the other thing is, what I'm talking about is that you may be left, you may be right, you may be for climate change, you may not, or whatever. But in the end, the same force is manipulating everybody. So instead of fighting each other, why don't we just put down the fault lines of disunity and see that actually we're all facing the same foe, which is designed to control all of us. Because it might be certain groups now, but when they're subjugated, they'll come for the rest. That's another part of it. They don't want unity. So if I'm on Twitter, for instance, you take a side, like you're pro this or pro this group or that group, then the algorithms are supporting you. You know, you look at the big numbers, they're people who've got a side. When you do things like I do, which is say actually that both sides are controlled by the same force and it's just divide and rule, I'm shadow banged like crazy. Because you know the problem with that Musk has is that he's put himself forward as this massive supporter of free speech, right? So he can't really ban me, because that would be too obvious and would actually expose the nonsense. So he does it through what his World Economic Forum connected CEO, Linda Yaccarino, calls speech but not reach. And in other words, you can say it, but we'll make sure that virtually no one sees it. And if something is awful but lawful, these are her words again, then it will basically be hidden and no one can see it. Now, what that is actually a very skillful way of shutting out information, because you know if you ban someone, then there's an acknowledgement that you don't want them to say what they're saying. But if you just make sure that they can say it, but no one will ever hear it, or very few people will, then you don't have that you don't have that ban resistance, but people don't hear what you're saying either. So that's how they're doing it. And people that I respect on Twitter X are invariably people who are shadow banned, who are seeing beyond the left-right puppet show. And if you notice with Musk, after the, how can I put it, the Trump shooting incident, he became overnight ultra, ultra political. He's gone from saying a few things here and there to being ultra political in his support of the of right-wing politics and his condemnation of and dismissal of left-wing politics. I don't think that's an accident either, because then you've got the governments that are, they say they're pushing back on Musk. And again, you've got this big political divide between governments and Musk and the right-wing politics of the alternative media. If you do the research, this is how it's operating, the illusion of free speech on Twitter. He will pick a fight with a particular country. Maybe it will be Brazil, although he's just submitted to them now.
Venezuela.
He'll pick a fight with Australia, who say you've got to take this down, and he'll fire dismissal and condemnation at the European Union, right? And that's all publicly building up his EC. Elon stands for freedom of speech, but then you do the research, and in the period since Musk has owned Twitter X, more content has been taken down on government diktats than the previous Twitter did. In the period up to March of 2024, tens of thousands of pieces of information, content, were taken down off Twitter X at the behest of the European Union. And while he was picking a fight with Australia over, he took down content in Australia that they demanded, but then they said, "Oh no, we want you to take it down globally." And he kind of resisted that, and they had this spat. Well, it was pointed out that he's taken down globally information demanded by the Australian government many times before. So what you've got in the background, it's all going on, but it'll pick particular fights at particular times because that builds the image of freedom of speech. And you cannot have someone standing for freedom of speech while the same organization says, we're going to shadow ban you and hide what you say if we don't like it.
And the people who should be critical of that and should be clear-eyed about that are delusional, and they think, well, Elon Musk has opened X for David Icke and for other voices.
Yeah.
But at the same time, worse shit is happening in the background. Well, they don't see it because they're focused on Tucker, Candace, Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Well, this is what's what's happened. I've watched this happen.
Such a good manipulation, David. That is so smart.
Okay, so I've been tracking Elon Musk for years and years, long before he bought Twitter. And tracking his companies and what his companies were doing, SpaceX, Neuralink, Tesla, all of them. And those companies are advancing this World Economic Forum global cult agenda. I mean, for instance, when I talk about the connection of the human brain to and the human body to artificial intelligence, the conduit is an electromagnetic, technologically generated electromagnetic field known as the cloud. Now, of course, all around you're seeing these 5G masts go up and 6G's in the pipeline, 7G after that. And you can fire that stuff in urban areas and what have you, but you can't cover the planet with it, which is what they want. To do that, you need low orbit satellites, and the leader in putting the low orbit satellites up through something they call Starlink is Elon Musk and SpaceX. And SpaceX is a NASA operation. It exists because of NASA funding. And he's just signed a contract with the Pentagon for a military version of Starlink, where these low orbit satellites will be surveilling, basically, and allowing the communication within the military and within government. So this is a man who stands for freedom of speech and freedom of people. So while he was doing that, and then Neuralink came in, you know, the connection to the human brain, although that's much more of a selling a concept because it's much more sophisticated how they're going to do it. Of course, the Tesla thing is all based on we've got to have electric cars because of electric vehicles because of
climate change.
Another bloody hoax that is. Now, before he bought Twitter, this is where I'm going with this. The alternative media was calling him out. You know, I remember Eva van Dingerbroek, the Dutch activist, did a speech. I saw it, but maybe it was 2022. In which she's saying Elon Musk is not our friend. He's part of this transhumanist agenda, right? Then he buys Twitter X. Complete transformation. The alternative media is not calling him out anymore. Eva van Dingerbroek is basically going doe-eyed over Elon Musk suddenly. Well, what happened between? He's not our friend. He's pushing the transhumanist agenda, and the doe-eyed, support of Musk. Twitter X. It's changed everything.
And she got the attention.
Yeah.
And she got the attention. I met her once, and it was. I don't know, she was introduced and I was going after her, and then she was in a panic because the guy who introduced her got her degree wrong or something from her university.
That matters, doesn't it?
Tells the story to me, doesn't it? To you. So, but now she's like promoted, like she's a guru of some sorts. And but it's such a good point that you make. I mean Elon Musk. In old times, before, we probably thought our savior would look like Justin Trudeau, you know, like this slick politician. But of course, it's much smarter to create a nerd who is also, at that time, he was the richest person on earth, and he's going to save us.
Well, you look at government subsidies for SpaceX, you look at subsidies for Neuralink and these other companies. If they wanted to bring Musk down, it would happen overnight.
Yes.
Right? And isn't it amazing, whenever he goes around the world, this man who's a threat to the system, he's kind of fawned over by country leaders and prime ministers and presidents, you know? Yeah. It's a joke, really. It's a massive psyop.
Yeah, you called it from the beginning again. You called it. You said something is not right about this. It feels it will reveal itself. It has been revealed. Well, it's such a joke. How can you run five companies like that? Have time to Twitter all day, meet world leaders, and telling people you spent 80% engineering. come on, it's a joke.
He spent 80% of his time engineering and designing.
And he could do nothing without the government assistance.
No, and 80% of his time is spent on frickin' Twitter, right? But this is the other thing here, is, okay... He brought out these Twitter files, which he says shows that that Twitter before he bought it was controlled, and everything that was posted or not posted was dictated by the deep state. Okay, so let's have a look at that then. So the deep state controlled Twitter and what was seen on it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so. But that's what the deep state wanted, right? Well, yeah. So why did they sell it to you? Right?
Common sense.
Why did they it to you?
Yeah.
When the people, the shareholders had to agree and they involved all these major companies that are co-owned, why did they let you buy it when you were proclaiming to be a free speech absolutist? What he's doing is Pied Pipering people to the edge of the cliff. And what I've said in my new book, The Reveal, is he's got a getaway car while still maintaining his I stand for freedom of speech, and that is government regulation, where they say, no, you must do this, you must do that, or else. And he says, look, it's terrible, I don't want to do this, but I got no choice.
I tried my best. Now, look at my tweets.
Last night, he posted on Twitter, X, I'm shutting down the X operation in Brazil. I don't want to. I think it's outrageous what the government is doing, but I've got no choice.
He's shutting it down?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Exactly how you predicted it.
Yeah. And this, you've seen nothing yet with the EU.
No, the EU now, the Thierry Breton.
Yeah.
He'll come after a lot.
Yeah.
And
but,
still
but,
people...
But yeah. He maintains his, I don't want to do this, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But it still happens. And this is the other thing, you know, which is important about Musk. This whole, I mean, I suppose you'd call it MAGA in America, supporters of Trump and similar people around the world. They are very wary about the whole AI thing, right? Whereas the woke, they seem to be okay with it, right? The so-called left, what passes for the left these days. Somehow, they have to get the skeptics on board with the AI agenda. So, first of all, Musk says AI could be the end of humanity. You know, we've got to be very careful with it. While at the same time, he's turning out more and more and more AI and started another company called XAI and all the rest of it. It would be X, wouldn't it? What is happening is this. You've got the AI connection to humans hard sell. This must happen. This is good for humanity and we'll be superhuman if we do it. That's coming from your Schwabs and your Gateses and your Ray Kurzweils, the Google executive, who's this big pusher of this AI hive mind agenda. And they're the hard sell. And the skeptics ain't going to buy that. They're immediately resistant. So you give them the soft sell. Oh, Elon's on our side. He knows it's dangerous, so we can trust him. Now, here's the point. Whether it's the hard sell or whether it's the soft sell, what's the outcome? The outcome is AI is connected to the human brain. Because on what Musk is saying, and I'm staggered that people have bought this, but so many have, he's saying, look, AI is going to become so much more intelligent than humans that if we don't have a connection to AI, then humans will die out. So what you're saying, Elon,
double speak.
The human brain must be connected to AI. Oh, yeah, I'm saying that. It will save humanity. What are you saying, Mr. Schwab and Mr. Kurzweil, Mr. Gates? We're saying that AI should be connected to the human brain. So it's two routes to get support from two very different groups. And it's staggering that that people fall for it. But like I say, the skepticism about Musk and his agenda through his companies and what have you has basically disappeared in terms of being challenged by the mainstream of the alternative media since he bought Twitter X. And that's why he was allowed to buy it.
It's true. It's so true. No criticism. Everybody. Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson.
All of them.
All of them. They love him. You sometimes, it's not frustration, but you're puzzled by the fact that these people never invite you on their shows.
Yeah.
I don't think you're frustrated by it necessarily. Maybe you are a little bit, but it could be because you've done so much research. You're so many decades ahead of everybody, including me, even though I'm a fast learner. Quick study.
Yeah.
They will never have you on.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Joe Rogan, hiya. Joe Rogan has had a podcast since 2009, covering many, many of the various subjects, not all of them, but many of them that I talk about. He's never had me on. I've had people who've been on his show, I've met them, and they've said, what do you mean, you've never been on the Rogan show? I don't know, I've never been on the Rogan show, never been asked. Oh, I'll get on to him, mate. This is ridiculous. Never hear another word.
No.
And when I called it out, maybe about a year or two ago, that it was obvious that he wasn't having me on for a reason. What's the reason? We got contacted by someone who says, oh, I know the Rogan lot. Not having you on, I'll have a word with them. Never heard another word. and so then what? This is an interesting area as well. The one thing that this whole cult is brilliant at is manipulating perception and predicting perception and behavior from certain stimuli, right? So what we were told is that Tucker Carlson was getting too close to the truth on Fox News, and so he was sacked by Murdoch to stop him putting that stuff out anymore, right? Well, you don't have to even be a genius at perception prediction to know that that would suddenly, overnight, give Tucker Carlson fantastic kudos within the alternative media. So he moves from Fox onto X and his own platform, and he gets phenomenal numbers compared with what he was getting at Fox.
Yeah.
If you wanted to stop someone going too far, keep them on Fox. He had the biggest cable news audience, yes, but it was nothing compared with what it is now. And they would have known that was going to be the case. So he comes in, and he's what I call a here and no further guy. He's very much political based and religious and all the rest of it. And then you've got others in the alternative media who are of the same mindset. It's all right wing politics and religion. And you've created this barricade. So what happened? It wasn't, a frustration. I guess it was a little bit. But what I was doing was pointing out the obvious, as I still try to do. Look, if you've been researching this for 35 years and you called all this stuff decades ago, the alternative media big names who've become so since COVID must surely want you on their show to say, how did you know this? Where's your supporting evidence? And what's happening next? That's what you would do. It's obvious.
Yeah.
But they never have. And what I pointed out is they're not having me on for a reason. What is the reason? And then people say, you just want attention and all this stuff. Nothing to do with that. You know, why aren't these people having me on? Even once.
Have you reached a conclusion why they don't have you on? I have an idea.
What's your take?
From my own experience is that I used to be in the mainstream media and successful and, everything was nice, but I felt uncomfortable. So I started moving to, say, this lake of total freedom. But to actually jump in the water of total freedom, there's still things that keep you there on land in safety, and at some point you have to make the jump, and then you, of course, naturally swim in fresh, clear water. But that last jump, you need to do, because there's also no way back.
Yeah.
And I think these people are always, you know, whether they have some other... They always keep one foot...
I do think that there is a connection between being banned from 30 countries in Australia and being shut out by the central core of the alternative media. I do think there's a connection there. And it's to do with what I'm saying and the fact that I go into realms of this and expanded realms of what this conspiracy really is, rather than right wing politics and religion, there's obviously a reason for it. And I'll tell you one thing that really struck me, which is what Tucker Carlson said. He was doing an interview a few months ago now, and he said that he felt that there were entities in other dimensions that were somehow behind this, right?
He said he was told by very high officials that he trusted that was the case.
Yeah.
He was told that.
He was told that. And, of course, that would fit into his Christian belief system with the demons and all the rest of it. And so he mentioned that. Okay, now... As I said at the time, if you've been told that and you think it's credible, then what about the guy who's been ridiculed since the 1990s for saying that? All over the world has been ridiculed and dismissed and laughed at for saying, surely you want him on your show to say, what do you think's going on with these non-human entities? But this is where I'm leading with this. A little while later, he does another interview, and he says, I think I've got an idea what's going on. He said, I don't need to know anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need to know anymore, because you're a journalist. You want to know as much as there is to know. So, again, it was almost like,
Up to the edge.
And then back. Yeah. And I go beyond the edge. So
yes.
So that's a reason they don't want me on. And
he actually said, Tucker said, I don't even tell my wife this. It's so scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, why didn't he talk to me about 35 years of research into all this stuff? Because there's a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason has got to have something to do. I think some of them, at least some of them, have a word in their ear.
Yeah.
You know, don't go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but it's people around you, and it's still safe. It's still safe on the land. But I wanna go to the other side, to the deep stuff, to the real stuff, to the next level, which I think they are also afraid of that you're going to talk about. They'd rather talk to David Icke in 1998 than 2024 because you're so far ahead of things. But I want to say that I want to thank you for being there during that COVID period. I called it out from day one. I saw immediately this is the flu redefined, and it was obvious to see because there was nothing going on. It was obvious. The facts stated that, but I felt very alone for a moment. Not lonely, but very alone because nobody was saying anything. Nobody was doing anything, and I was screaming and broadcasting my heart out. Trying to prove it, but then you came with something even better. You came out, you said, you know, there is no virus. And that's, of course, the case. There was no virus. But I wanted to say in person, thank you for being there, and of course for many, 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 many other people. But that was such a strong moment. After that, you got banned everywhere, of course.
Yeah.
That was the start of everything.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, that having reached that point, that those people that came in after that, who bought the COVID hoax,
yes,
won't talk to you.
They won't talk to
That's
you.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason.
Yeah. Well, I came to talk to you.
Yeah, you did.
What a journey all the way to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, but you're awake, mate. That's the difference.
That could be. So you've got a new book coming out. This sounds like an introduction to a boring interview. You've got a new book coming out. Tell me about it. What's in it? No, but you go deeper than ever before. And I think what I'm interested in is this. I've always thought, you know, the best way I could describe it is that there is this energy, there's a high energy, but there's also a very deep, dark,
depressive, destructive energy in the world. And I always, that's the way I could explain to myself that that's those, keep speaking the truth, he said.
Yeah. Good.
That these people, if you can call them people, live on that energy,
yeah,
and they create all the troubles in the world, all the destruction, all the murders, all the deaths, all the manipulation with money. And those people live there, and some people can latch onto that energy just to do the job for them, and you know, they start to feel comfortable, or can be manipulated into it, or bribed into it, or I saw it as an energy, but you see it, visualize it in another way.
Yeah, but it's you know, the principle is the same. I came to the conclusion just after the turn of the millennium that this is a simulation. This is a digital simulation. It's an energetic information field which we're interacting with. And one of the great things that's happening now is that, I mean, I feel so sorry for the shamans and people like that of the past who were had to use analogies from their culture and time to try to explain this. Whereas we've got basically a mirror image of what I'm talking about, which is the technological explosion that's going on. So if people imagine this field, this this simulation, it's not a construct so much as a field of information. And we've got the perfect analogy for it, Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi is an information field, a radiation frequency information field. And the computer locks into that and decodes it into a very different state on the screen. So you say to people, tell me about the internet. They say, well, it's graphics and videos and words on the screen. Yes, it is, but only on the screen. That is the only place the internet exists in that form. Everywhere else is Wi-Fi fields of information and electronic circuits and so on. Now, what I realized, because I've been calling the body a biological computer since the 1990s, and that's what it is. And another thing is, you know, we think anything biological is natural, and anything technological is unnatural, but human-made. Well, what I've learned over the decades is that to this cult, the biological is a form of technology. So the situation you have with this simulation is that everything is simulated, including the biological. It's a copy. It's a copy of prime reality, this is a very poor copy of it, and that we're in. So what we call the natural world is a copy of the prime Earth natural world, which is very, very, very different and far more evolved than this one. And this simulation is decoded into what we experience as a physical world. It's actually a holographic world through the biological computer. And you know, when you come to things with an open mind and you're just interested in what's happening rather than a preconceived idea, religious, whatever, and you just take a step back and look at things dispassionately, you realize how much of this stuff is already known. If you said to a scientist, how do we construct reality, they'd tell you, well, the five senses, whether it's the hearing senses, sight senses, whatever, they take frequency information. That's the Wi-Fi field. That's the simulation field. And they turn it into electrical information. Same information, different form. And from that, it's communicated to the brain, and the brain then decodes that electrical information into digital holographic information, which appears to be external to us, like this world does as we sit here, but is actually all going on in here. Where is the internet going on with Wi-Fi and a computer? It's going on inside the computer. We're just observing the screen. It's all happening inside the computer. It's all happening inside of us. And then you realize that the sight senses, that is all that we can see and we call the world, is a tiny band of frequency that's so tiny, it's hysterical, really. It's laughable. According to mainstream science, the electromagnetic spectrum, which is basically this reality, is 0.005% of what exists in the universe in energy in all its forms. And visible light, which is the only band of frequency we can see, is a fraction of the 0.005%. So when people say, well, you say there's these entities in the hidden, why can't we see them then? Well, mate, you can hardly see anything. That's why, you know, if you're watching TV channel A, you can't see TV channel B because they're on different wavelengths. So this body locks us in to this specific tiny band of wavelengths that we perceive as the world, and we decode it as the world. So when people say, I saw this UFO and it just came out of nowhere, or this entity appeared on the end of the bed and it just out of nowhere and then disappeared into nowhere, right? And of course, the five sense normal mind says, that's ridiculous, mate. That's impossible. No, it's not. All that's happening is something's entered visible light. To you, it's appeared out of nowhere. And then it's left visible light. And to you, it's disappeared into nowhere. It's just left the frequency band that you can decode into the sense of sight. And therefore, the vastness of infinity exists in the same space that we're sitting in now, but we're only picking up a tiny band of frequency within that infinity, which we call the human world. So you start then to realize that these entities that you talk about operate just outside of the human sight senses in a dimension that, you know, in esoteric circles it's called the astral dimension. And they are manipulating our reality from this hidden dimension, hidden to us, that is, not hidden in general. And this global cult is operating within the human frequency band, but it's being directed from this non-human force outside of the human world. And so I started to realize that a long time ago that these rich and famous cultists, shall we say, were doing rituals and sacrificial rituals to their gods. Okay, right. Why? Right? Yeah. And then you start to look into history and you see all these different cultures around the world that were doing sacrificial rituals to their gods. And you see all these pantheons of gods all over the bloody world. And then you think, they were doing sacrificial rituals to the gods that these people today are doing the sacrificial rituals to. They're the same gods. They're just different cultures give them different names. And then you ask the question, okay, so they're making sacrifices to the gods. What do the gods get out of it then, right? And then the pennies start to drop. And it links into something you've mentioned. Every time we think and feel emotion, we are generating a frequency. This is well known in mainstream science. You generate a frequency. And the frequency relates to the kind of emotion and the kind of thought. So hatred and depression and resentment and fear, the big one, they are expressed as a frequency. Right?
And you feel that.
You Everybody feels that.
Everybody feels that. It's like an energy, but you could also call it a frequency.
Yeah, it's a frequency. It's an energy frequency. And you know when you go into a real old building, like a real old mansion or something, where there's been a lot of potential for real strange and bad happenings, murders or whatever, you can walk in and you go, I don't like it in here. Yeah. That's the frequency of what's gone on there still resonating in that place, right? Now, you can change it, but if you don't, then it still resonates in that place. So what they've done, in the simplest of terms, is they've created this fake reality, which we take to be real, and they use it to manipulate endless situations globally and individually that generate low vibrational emotional and mental energy. Like a war is a banquet, right, to them. And they are feeding off this energy. They're absorbing it. It's their sustenance. And one of the reasons they're terrified of people awakening is that if they awaken beyond this low vibrational state and see how it's all being manipulated so that they will generate that energy, that lucia, some people call it, for these entities, then the game's up for them. So then we go back to what is the human sacrifice giving to these gods?
Yes.
Well, it's a concentrated version of what I've just described. What they do, and the reason they're doing Babylonian-type rituals today, these rich and famous people you see, is because of a particular effect it has in terms of the chanting and the frequency that they create. And they build up the terror of the sacrifice, often kids, by the way. And what happens is when the terror reaches a certain point just before the sacrifice, an adrenaline enters the blood as a result. Some people call this adrenochrome. And the Satanists who are conducting the ritual within this human world, if you like, they drink the blood and they get a high. It's like a drug to them, this adrenaline-infused blood that they drink. But on another level of frequency, these gods, in other words, these entities in the hidden, that's what they are feeding off the terror of the victim. That's the sacrifice. That's the gift that the gods are getting and have been since ancient times. And so this is why they do it. And I've talked to Satanists, former Satanists all over the world, who've told me about this and how it works. And
the rituals.
How the rituals work.
But that's important to point out. I mean, this is not something that you feel or that you... I always pointed it out about you. You've researched this. You've spoken to these people.
Yeah, and of course, we come back to a theme. What they're doing is so almost incomprehensible to the population who don't do it that it's immediately dismissed.
Because the population lives on a much higher frequency.
It lives in a dream world.
In a dream world.
See, this reality is an induced dream.
No.
You know, when years ago, when I was a journalist, a kind of mainstream journalist, a long time ago now, there was a period where I would wake up in the morning and I'd put the radio on to hear the latest news, and then often I'd just slip back into sleep for a while. It wasn't very long. But it seemed a long time, but it wasn't very long. And I'd have really lucid dreams day after day after day. And when I woke up, I realized the dream I was having related to the story that was being played on the radio.
Ah,
so it was an induced dream. And that's what this is. It's an induced dream. We're decoding this dream. And it's an interactive dream. So it's overwhelmingly impacting on our sense of reality, but we can change it as well by our
sense of reality. What people would obviously want some... What is it? They want to know, what is that entity? And what does it look like? And is it a person on a throne? Is it a, you know? Or is it, are we thinking about energy spheres?
Yeah. Well, you know the amazing thing is it's on public display. What I do is when I'm researching, okay, I see the differences between things, yes, but what I'm really looking for are the areas of agreement. Universal agreement between different belief systems that appear to be different. So what you find is, like, you take Christianity, it talks about a negative force manipulating human society called the devil or Satan, right? And it has a kind of army of demons, right? And then you look at Islam, and Islam talks about Shaitan and Iblis as their negative force, manipulating from the hidden. And its army is called the Jinn, from which we get genie. Then you look at the Gnostic belief system, and they talk about the negative force being Yaldabaoth, or sometimes the Demiurge. And the Archons are the army in this case. And Archons means in Greek, rulers. And then, you know, I've talked to people like Credo Mutwa, the great Zulu shaman, and other people around the world in native cultures, and they have similar beliefs. So what we're looking at in the end is a state of inverted, I'll come back to that in a second, inverted schismatic consciousness. So if you take balance to be the norm, it's incredible imbalance. And if you look at the world and people's lives, that basically what's running through world events and people's lives is a schismatic imbalance. That's what war is. It's an imbalance. This is what hunger is in a world of plenty. It's an imbalance. And of course, the more imbalances you have, the lower the frequencies that are being generated, which actually is the whole idea of the simulation. So,
and you create confusion among people because they don't get it anymore. It's today it's too cold because the climate is getting warmer.
Yeah.
Stoltenberg said, you know, we can only have peace if we produce more weapons.
Yeah.
It's that kind of...
What you're describing is something I just mentioned, inversion.
Yeah, inversion.
If you take the world, it's basically an inversion. And it's no accident, that the satanic symbols are inverted symbols. So the classic symbol of Satanism is the inverted pentagram. And what do? They invert the cross. Now, that's actually, although the Christians think it is, it's nothing to do with Christianity. The cross is an ancient symbol long before Christianity. What it is, the inverted cross, is it symbolizes the inversion. Everything's inverted. Everything's upside down. There's a wonderful quote I used to use in my talks from a guy who's looking at the inversions in the world, like, you know, governments don't protect their control. governments don't, you know, represent the people. They control the people. Education's about programming, not education. Yeah. And so, you know,
it's all inverted.
Doctors destroy health. Yeah. You know, scientists destroy our sense of reality with their focus of attention only on this tiny frequency band we call the physical world.
And did we not all see that during the COVID period? That was obviously on display. It's so interesting, David, and it's we can talk all day. There's one thing, and I tell you something. I find it almost scary to bring this up. As in, I'm afraid,
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Of course, I'm not afraid. But it's such a touchy subject.
Yeah.
And I think, but I'm thinking, why not talk about it? Because I know I will lose a lot of people who donate to the to my show, because there are many religious people, and I am very open to every religion. I'm more like a, well, for lack of a better term, spiritual person. So I don't need to put myself in a box, but or label myself or follow something or someone. I have complete trust in existence. It's all the wrong terms, but that's the best way to describe it. But here's my question. I get a lot of emails from people of the Christian faith, and they say, look, it's all predicted. It's all predicted in the Bible. And I've been starting to think a lot the last couple of years. I mean, and I don't know if you've researched this, but how do we know that the Bible, obviously Jesus Christ existed, inspirational figure. How do we know that the Bible has not been rewritten into the script that with the outcome that they want?
Yeah, well, let's have a look at this. So this you've opened up a massive area, which I could talk for hours about.
Sorry.
So first of all, who compiled the Bible and what went in it? The Roman Church did. The Roman Church that has a history of mass slaughter and control, a slaughter of those who have a different opinion, is a crime. And this is why it's so bizarre, and it is bizarre to me, to see members of the alternative media who are talking about the need for free speech who convert to the Roman Church, that the Roman Catholic Church. That is extraordinary to me. I mean, they say, oh, there's a spiritual war. Well, okay, there might be, but you've joined the wrong bloody side, mate, all right? So let's look at this whole thing. When you're researching what's happening in the world, as you will well know, the one thing you must have if you're going to do it credibly is no-go areas. There's got to be nothing that is not... is not something that you can reassess in the light of information. And if therefore you have a religious belief system, I don't care if it's Christian or Islamic or Hindu or whatever, or you have a political belief system, there are no-go areas in terms of religion, massive ones, where you will not go, because if you do, your belief system could come under threat from the information. So you're simply not going to go there. So already you've self-censored yourself. You're only going to look at this information, which will confirm your belief system. And if you want to... Let me put it this way. We're sitting here, and if people could visualize... a freeway, a motorway going up from us, like a big
super highway.
Energy, yeah, okay. Super highway of energy, up to that outside of the simulation, locking into this infinity of knowledge, understanding, inspiration, love, all of it. So the worst nightmare of this cult and these entities is that is put in place. So as you awaken to more and more of this, they want cul-de-sacs. They want areas of like slip roads off the highway, and put you in a cul-de-sac. And some of down here it's like right wing politics, left wing politics, right. And then here it's religion, and they don't care what religious belief you have. They don't really care what rigid, unquestioning belief you have, so long as you have one. You've got the Christian belief system, which dominates the alternative media. Once you've got these different belief systems, you then have the fault lines for divide and rule, which is another essential to your game, you divide and rule. Because instead of people just opening their minds to the true magnificence and infinity that we are, they're here fighting each other. Yeah. I've got the best religion. My prison cell's better than yours, right? Okay, so you have now Christians and Muslims fight. You have Hindus with their particular belief system. And this is one of the things I came across in the book, the new book, The Reveal. There's supposed to be 8 billion people on the planet. 5.4 billion of them are listed as following Christianity, Islam, or Hinduism. 5.4 billion of the 8 billion have a religious belief system. And that's without all the sub-belief systems of religions that go off from that. Those three major ones. You know, one of the things that I'm saying in these books, recent books, is that I started to look at the afterlife. And I read, and this is over years and years and years, I read endless accounts and watched endless accounts of what they call near-death experiences, where their body dies briefly and then they experience a different reality. First of all, why do they experience a different reality? Because what we are is consciousness. The body is the vehicle for consciousness to experience this reality. So when we're in the body, biological computer, is decoding the this level of the simulation. So our five senses are giving us this world. That's what we seem to be experiencing. What we call death is not death of consciousness, it's death of the body, it's death of the vehicle, it's death of the biological computer. And it stops decoding this reality. And when it stops decoding this reality, we immediately have our attention transferred from the body computer decoding world into another level of ourselves, which is experiencing a completely different reality. And that's why there are these common themes of what people experience, what we call death. Death is merely a transfer of attention. That's all it is. But then I thought, I've traveled the world a lot, like you, and you know, I've been to 60-odd countries, I guess, a lot of them in the last 35 years. Not so many now, though.
How's your frequent flyer mileage?
Not very good. Not very good. No. Like zilch. But vast, vast, vast numbers of people are not having a good time. That, you know, if you look around Asia and South America and Africa and Central America and et cetera, they're trying to survive another day. Most of them. So I thought, I can see why consciousness could be enticed into this simulation, somehow tricked into it, once. But when you leave this reality at what we call bodily death, why the bloody hell would you come back, right? And why would you? It's a shithole for most people. So, but by this time, and there's enormous evidence I put in the books to support the fact that reincarnation does actually exist. It's a recycling of consciousness into this human world and out into what they call the spirit world, in other words, this astral dimension, and then back in. And then I thought, well, I mean, in the Buddhists, for instance, call it the wheel of samsara. And I thought, why the bloody hell would you come back? And this has been a big area of my research in recent years, and I put it together in the reveal. It's obviously that this simulation has other levels, and it has other levels that we call the spirit world. And, you know, we're kidded into believing outside of the body that we need to keep coming back into the human world to learn lessons, to evolve. It's another lie and it's another trap. And what I've observed in my research is how much the so-called spirit world is a mirror. It's on a different frequency and it takes a different form, but it's a mirror of the human world. It's like a different version of the same thing. So When people are in the human world, basically what they're doing is they're looking to authority to tell them what to think, to do. They're looking to experts and people who know better than they do, because I'm not very bright, people think. I'm just little me. And then when you read and watch these accounts of near-death experiences, when they enter what we call the spirit world, the afterlife realm, in other words, just another frequency, the same thing happens. Because suddenly authority figures appear and start telling you what you should do. And oh, you've got to do this, you've got to learn lessons. Honestly, when you see it put together in the books, it's an extraordinary thing. And so when you're trying to get this across with an enormous background evidence, I mean, you know, people would be surprised how much evidence there is. And evidence for reincarnation is fantastic. I mean, there was a guy called Stevenson who spent much of his life interviewing young children in different parts of the world who had memories of previous lives. And these were little kids that had no way of knowing anything. They were just saying what they knew, what they remembered. And what he would then do would go and check them out in detail, what they said. He would check out names, he would check out places, he would check out descriptions, all of it. And again, he found that these kids, sometimes in other countries, sometimes in a different part of the same country, what they were saying was provable. It was tangibly provable that what they were saying was true, when they had no way of knowing any of these things.
It's before they were brainwashed into the system.
Yeah, because basically it seems to be that by the time you get to the age of seven, there are exceptions, but mostly by the time you get to the age of seven, it just fades. You know, because this world starts
to come in on you.
So when you're trying to talk about this, we come back to the 5.4 billion. Christianity doesn't believe in reincarnation, so they're lost. They will not go there because it doesn't mention it in the Bible. You mean the Roman Catholic Church didn't mention it? No. That control system, yeah. There were slaughtered people who had a different opinion. That one, yeah, gotcha, yeah. And then, you know, Islam doesn't believe in reincarnation. Well, you know, of course, Christianity does believe in reincarnation because it says Jesus is coming back. and then you have the Hindu beliefs and the Eastern beliefs that do believe in reincarnation, but it's learning lessons to evolve, you see. So you have to keep coming back to learn lessons. It's your karma. So you've got 5.4 billion that are basically like that immediately when you're trying to get this stuff across. But you know, all you can do is put it out there, let people see the evidence and the supporting evidence in the books and stuff, and then they'll have to make their own minds up. But, you know, what I'm saying is, while you have these rigid belief systems that immediately go like that, no, mm-hmm. can't be. You know, and, you know, it's like I say to people, are you really telling me the Old Testament tyrant God is supposed to be the same God as the New Testament God? I mean,
but that doesn't make sense to
me. It makes no sense whatsoever. You know, and you've got this Old Testament tyrant, bloodthirsty God. I am the only God. I'm a jealous God. Oh, he's a loving God, really. Oh, yeah, what's going on? But you see, and this is the same with Islam and these other holy books.
Do you agree with me that this is like a no-go area? To question who wrote what, when, has it been altered, has it been changed?
Yeah, yeah. No. Why? Because they say it's the Word of God. These holy books are the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, what that means is that God can't be wrong.
Yeah.
So even though the books are full of contradictions, you have to go into cognitive dissonance to ignore the contradictions because God can't be wrong. And, you know, I tell you what I do when I'm researching. I don't take a side. I have my own opinions about things, but I don't take a side and say all bad, all my side, all good. What I say is I'm going to take every statement and every thought and every opinion in and of itself. So you will say something and I'll say, no, I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. And then I'll say, actually, you've got a valid point there. I think that's right. So you take in every statement. What religions do, you have to take the lot. You have to take the lot, or you're a bloody blasphemer, or you're not a true Christian or a true Muslim or whatever. Instead of saying, well, yeah, I mean, there's parts of the Bible that are kind of undeniable. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Beautiful.
All beautiful. And there's lots of beautiful things. The thing is, you have to take the bloody package. You have to take the lot.
But so, let's be honest, people don't do that because there's a lot of nastiness in there that people couldn't live by. So you do pick and choose. But yeah.
Have you ever come across the anti-haters? We're against hate. We hate you for
no
hating.
No more hate speech. You go to jail for saying something that
it's unbelievable. Oh. And then you get you know. I mean, I remember.
I love this. The never-ending conversation with David Icke.
I love
the most,
this.
The most dangerous man on the planet. The most dangerous man. Here he is. He's got security guards. He lives in a sort of like a walled, like a prison almost, with guards, snipers on top of his house.
Oh, absolutely.
You're so dangerous. You cannot travel the world.
Oh, God, what was that?
His ear has been almost shut off five times.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with my ear. No. I can't see anything wrong, Donald. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, you have this, you've got to take it all, and that means you're taking the crap with the good stuff, and somehow you've got to explain the contradictions, and the great one is, well, God doesn't want us to know. Why does anyone want us to know? I want to know. So you're dealing with this belief system.
So touchy, and I hate
resistance.
And in a way,
to going beyond your myopia into the greater possibility. Because you know, this is what I would say to people, and this is a philosophy that I've worked with all along. In ancient Greece, the philosopher Socrates was supposed to have said, he's quoted as saying, to know is to know you know nothing. That is the meaning of true knowledge. So,
and science.
Yeah, well, that's another religion. Science is another religion. It's holy books, our scientific orthodoxy. That's all it is. Yeah. And if you step outside of scientific orthodoxy, because the evidence takes you there, then instead of being a blasphemer, you are a pseudo-scientist. It's pseudo-science.
Have you studied that?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Anyway, so you have this situation where this resistance to the expansion of possibility is the prison cell that most people live in. And there's another prison cell called the fear of what other people think. And because most people are living their lives from a perception of the imposed, perceived normal, if you stand outside of the normal because you want to know what's going on, then you are going to be laughed at, dismissed, or whatever by the perceived normal, which is most people. And because people have a fear of what other people think, they therefore conform to the normal so that people will think they're okay. I mean, we saw this during COVID. And I've heard, you would have heard this as well, and I've heard it loads of times in the COVID period, where people who refused to have the jab were ostracized by their own families.
Yes.
Because the normal was you do what the doctors say, you do what the scientists say. That's the normal. So you step out of the normal and you're ostracized because you don't want to be infused with something that's either going to kill you or transform you into some kind of synthetic entity.
Yeah. David, we could talk for hours and hours and hours. Because everything we talk about leads to something else, leads to a bigger thought. It's incredible. I was always going to say something again. The only thing that frightened me about the COVID period, that really frightened me, was to see how people started policing each other.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that is the most horrendous thing. And we, you know, we have...
Look at the Stasi secrets police in East Germany. Look at what happened in the Nazi period in Germany. People policed each other on behalf of the state, the authority.
And you see how easy it was to create?
Easy. And you know, people say, oh, we learned from that. Well, yeah, some people may have done. But if they play the same card again, great majority of people are going to react in the same way.
It really is like everybody thought they would be freedom fighters against the Nazis in the Second World War. But now you could probably see 80% of the people would go, Anne Frank, she's behind the closet. She's behind the...
It
was scary.
But I mean,
let's end on a high note.
Yeah, from an individual point of view, we all have the choice not to be part of it.
That's true.
Not to be pulled in by it, to express our uniqueness, to have our own uniqueness of view and opinion, to research our opinions instead of getting them off the peg from me or anybody else.
Yeah.
And realize that, you know, as I was saying about Socrates, which can be summarized as wisdom is knowing how little we know. The one thing you know that is unquestionable is whatever we think we know, there's always more to know. That is, when you're in a frequency band, which is a joke of a narrow band of frequency, and infinity lies beyond it, how can you claim to know what there is to know, or even what you need to know? You can't, because you don't know what you don't know. So what I would say to people is open your mind to all possibility. Not that you believe everything you're told, of course not, but give it a chance. Don't just dismiss by reflex action because it's against my religion or against my political belief system. Give it a chance. See if it makes sense. When you look at the detail, not the headline, the detail, and you'll realize that, as I've done over the years, that almost everything we've been told since we've been in this world is bollocks.
I want to end on that, because that's true. It's also what I learned all those years ago. The first thing I said, nothing is real. As in, you know, what we think is real is not real, but this is the same. David, it was lovely meeting you.
You too, mate. It's great to meet you after all this time.
I think we should do this again.
Yeah, we should. And I'll come to Holland when my ban ends.
Yeah. Don't get me upset again about those... Yeah. Idiots.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's great that Geert Wilders got all those votes because he stands for freedom and then oversaw the imposition of a Dutch intelligence chief as prime minister, unelected. I think that's great.
And Geert
that's democracy in action. That
Geert
is.
Has blocked you on Twitter, hasn't he?
Oh, Geert Wilders has blocked me on Twitter. Oh, well, loads of people have blocked me on Twitter. Eva Vlaardingerbroek in Holland has blocked me long ago.
I love how you pronounce her last name.
Yeah.
Eva Vlaardingerbroek.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Well, you're Dutch. I'm just an English oaf. I've got no idea. I don't do foreign languages. I don't do English most of the time. Yeah. What do you call it? What's his name? Mark Andreessen, who's a big billionaire Silicon Valley guy. I've mentioned him in my book, mind, but I've never mentioned him on Twitter, but he's blocked me as well for some reason. I'm blocked by loads and loads of people. Andrew Tate blocked me.
Andrew Tate's blocked you. You know, a funny last story. People will love this.
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. So a lot of people, when I went on this road trip, said, oh, you should go to Bulgaria and interview Andrew Tate. Now, my gut feeling says I don't want to speak to that guy. Because I think he's a fake.
100%.
It's a fraud. It's machismo. But on the road, when I started, and I love talking to young people, a lot of them said, oh, you need to speak to Andrew Tate. So then I said, I explained to them that I think he's a fake with the Maserati. He said, well, why do that? If you have a message, you tell the message, and you don't need to show all this bullshit and with these prostitutes and whatever. So then I got to a place for an opportunity. Somebody called me that, who's intimate, very close to Andrew Tate, and yeah, I can arrange that for you. So I said, okay, give him my highlight reel of some of the things I did in the past. I thought I'd show him the showbiz stuff, because I was actually persuaded by people to say, all right, but expose him then. But I don't expose anybody. I just listen to what people are saying and something natural happens.
Yeah.
This is, I don't expose, I don't go in. It's not a hatchet job, but I knew that was going to happen. And I don't, I didn't need it for this show, for this road trip. So, okay, yeah, Andrew will do it. Yeah, yeah, I know. So the guy, good friend with Andrew Tate, puts it out, and it's basically a no-brainer for somebody to do a show like this. He never heard from him. He never heard from him. He texted again, and they're in constant contact. So he smelled a rat.
Yeah.
Because I would have been the rat, because I wouldn't have to do anything to expose how fake that is and how vacuous. And,
yeah, the sad thing about...
We're talking again.
The sad thing about the Tate phenomenon is what he's done is taken something that's valid, which is the suppression of men,
yeah,
the suppression through what they call toxic masculinity and all that stuff. And instead of taking it to a point of balance, he's taken it over here.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got two polarities. Division. And so... instead of being like turned into like an effeminate man, if you like, and suppressed and all the rest of it, you need a Bugatti.
Yeah.
This is my Bugatti. I'm rich. I exploit people, basically. That's what he's saying. Yeah. And that's not the only option to the suppression of men, you know. What is a man? What is a man? Oh, he's a man. He's got to be a man.
It's a man who talks like this. It's a man who talks like this with this voice, with the Maserati, with the thing, with the bitches on the phone.
A man is someone with a backbone that won't bend when it comes to doing what you believe to be right.
That's right.
You don't need macho man bullshit. You don't need all of that stuff. All you need is an absolute fierce, unyielding intention to do what you believe to be right and say what you believe to be right, even if, you know, there are consequences. You do it. And you don't need all the macho bullshit. You really don't.
I actually think that the Maserati thing and the bullshit is kind of effeminate. It's like buying a Louis Vuitton handbag and showing it off.
Yeah, It's another form of buying. You know, Andrew Tate's always talking about it's the Matrix. He doesn't know what the Matrix is. But actually what he's doing is buying the Matrix, because he's buying the materialism which pulls you into the Matrix. It's all right, you know, having material things while you observe that it's all a dream and that, you know, it's none of it's real. But you know, I like those things. That's fair enough. But you're not in the world and of it. You can see it for what it is. But when you're in the Andrew Tate mode of possessions and things, you absolutely are attached to the Matrix, and it's running you.
And it's he's hijacked a valid point.
It's a very valid point. You don't need to be Andrew Tate to rebel against
you don't need
the
to show,
suppression of men.
Yeah, you don't need to show a Maserati if you have a message.
No.
So I'm glad that Andrew Tate didn't go through, but
yeah.
The lovely Mr. Icke, David Icke, what a good conversation.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
All the best.
Hierbij komt mijn roadtrip tot zijn eind. Wat een trip. Wat heb ik veel geleerd. Wat heb ik veel inspiratie opgedaan. Het is exact wat ik nodig had. Het was ook weer eventjes iets anders voor mij. Na 5 jaar de Jensen Show even een andere kant van het leven weer bekijken. En het heeft me veel gegeven en ik ben super dankbaar. Ik ben dankbaar dat ik dit door jullie heb kunnen doen. Dankbaar. En dat is wat ik gewoon ben. Dankbaar. Dankbaar op dit moment.
vijf jaar.
Dames en heren, daar zijn we weer. In een nieuwe setting, maar met dezelfde boodschap en vrijheid.
Compleet onafhankelijk.
Dit is de enige plek waar je de echte vrijheid en waar uiteindelijk het echte nieuws te vinden is.
Al vijf jaar op zoek naar de waarheid.
Nooit als er zoiets groots gebeurt, als je voelt dat iets groots op je afkomt. Niet dat eerste narratief.
Nou, dat zeg je heel vaak.
Ik zeg dat niet dat eerste narratief. Wacht even af en probeer in het nu te blijven leven. En probeer daar te blijven staan.
Al vijf jaar op het scherpst van de snede.
Your children, folks, if you've let them, have been injected with a molecule. And I've got worse for you, but for which they had so little safety data. You would probably not allow a pet of yours to be injected.
Al vijf jaar verzet tegen het kwaad.
Ze hebben dezelfde vijand en ze spelen ons tegen elkaar uit. Als mensen dat gaan zien, het is game over voor die gasten.
Al vijf jaar met de rug kaarsrecht.
Ik geloof nog steeds dat onze beste tijden nog voor ons liggen.
Al vijf jaar met een lach.
Ik stop even mijn speech terug in mijn Ik haat Klaus Schwab tasje.
En al vijf jaar strijdend voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. We hebben financiële support nodig om onafhankelijk door te gaan. Steun ons voor de vrijheid van het vrije woord. Ga naar jensen.nl. Het vrije geluid laat zich niet censureren.